Welcome to the Right Whale Agreement for the Rhode Island, Massachusetts. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Tricia Yeagley from Conservation Law Foundation. Tricia, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rachel. Hi and welcome. My name is Tricia Yeagley. I'm Vice President and Director of Advocacy for Conservation Law Foundation's Rhode Island office. And on behalf of Conservation Law Foundation, Natural Resources Defense Council, National Wildlife Federation, and Deepwater Wind, I'd like to thank you all for joining us this morning to learn more about this really groundbreaking agreement that we're introducing today, that we're announcing today, that will help to advance offshore wind in the Rhode Island Mass Wind Energy Area, while also ensuring the protection of the critically endangered North Atlantic right whale. This agreement is really the result of an extensive and collaborative effort between CLF, NRDC, NWF, and Deepwater Wind. And during this call, you will hear from Jeff Grabowski, the CEO of Deepwater Wind, Michael Jasny, Director of NRDC's Marine Mammal Protection Project, and Catherine Bowes, the Senior Manager in the National Wildlife Federation's Climate and Energy Program. We also have Kit Kennedy on the phone today. She is the Director of Energy and Transportation Program for NRDC, and Sarah Chasis, who's the Director of NRDC's Ocean Initiative, and Priscilla Brooks, who's the Director of CLF's Ocean Program. All of these folks will be available to answer questions as well. Briefly, let me just say that today's agreement is really the embodiment of our collective effort to reduce the potential for injury to North Atlantic right whales from underwater noise that's created by some of the site assessment and site characterization activities that will be necessary to identify the right locations for wind turbines. The agreement follows on a similar agreement we reached in 2012 for mid-Atlantic wind energy areas. It was developed with input from leading North Atlantic right whale scientific experts, including from the New England Aquarium, and has been endorsed by Environment America, the International Fund for Animal Welfare, Oceana, and Sierra Club. All of the parties and supporters of this agreement recognize the need to respond to climate change with tangible solutions. Offshore wind is undoubtedly one of those key solutions, but we also recognize that there is critical habitat to protect, user conflicts to avoid, and endangered marine mammals that need our deliberate effort and attention to make offshore wind successful. The North Atlantic right whale is a critically endangered species, with approximately 400 to 500 animals remaining. We have seen some of the most significant aggregations of North Atlantic right whales ever documented right in Rhode Island Sound. But we also recognize that the presence of concerns and different user interests doesn't have to mean that there's no path forward. This agreement was reached in the spirit of really an ocean management approach that New England has been pioneering with the Rhode Island Ocean Plan, the Massachusetts Ocean Plan, and now the Regional Ocean Plan, and is certainly consistent with President Obama's National Ocean Policy. The agreement underscores the importance of stakeholders sitting at the table together to craft solutions that allow us to both capitalize on everything that the ocean has to offer in terms of clean, renewable energy, while also protecting marine resources, including right whales. We have found a truly willing and engaged partner in Deepwater Wind, and at this time, I'd like to turn this over to Jeff Grabowski, the CEO of Deepwater Wind, to tell you why Deepwater Wind engaged so actively with us in reaching this agreement and why they have been such an engaged partner. Jeff.
Thank you, Trish. This is Jeff Grabowski. I'm the CEO of Deepwater Wind, and we are very, very happy to be participating in this announcement today and to be a signatory to this very important agreement. As you know, this agreement relates to the wind energy area that is known as the Rhode Island, Massachusetts Wind Energy Area. In the summer of 2013, Deepwater Wind won a competitive auction for this wind energy area, and that we now hold a 30-year lease from the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management for the site. where we intend to build a utility-scale offshore wind farm. This agreement is important because we think it embodies one of the core principles of deepwater wind development efforts, that offshore wind is compatible with other ocean uses and other ocean resources like marine mammals. And it can be compatible as long as development is done in an environmentally responsible way. So from Deepwater's perspective, we approach these developments with several principles in mind. One is that we have an obligation to be stewards of the environment and to develop in environmentally responsible ways and using methods that are compatible with existing resources. Two, that we need to be basing decisions on the best available science. And three, that as developers, it's our responsibility to engage in meaningful ways with stakeholders. And so this agreement today is a result of many, many months of work by the organizations that have signed this agreement with input from nationally renowned scientists who were using the best available data. And it involved quite a bit of exchange back and forth between Deepwater and the environmental and conservation groups that are signatories here. And at the end of the day, we're very thrilled that we were able to collectively come to a place where we believe we can continue development of this important wind farm site while protecting marine mammals, and in particular the North Atlantic right whale. So we're very happy to have signed this document and happy that the others other organizations were able to come to an agreement with us. So I'm going to turn it over now to Michael Jasny of NRDC.
Thanks, Jeff. Good morning. My name is Michael Jasny, and I'm a senior policy analyst at NRDC and director of NRDC's Marine Mammal Protection Project. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking a bit more about the right whale and then walk you through the agreement. As Tricia said, our primary goal in developing this agreement is to minimize impacts on the North Atlantic right whale during the initial stages of offshore wind development. And as many of you know, right whales got their name because they were deemed the right whale to hunt, and they were driven to near extinction by whaling. It's been almost 80 years since they were legally killed, but they remain critically endangered in the Atlantic. Only about 500 right whales remain. They haven't recovered because of a number of other threats they face. For one, right whales are highly vulnerable to collision with ships. As here in New England, they often feed on copepods just below the water surface where they can be struck but not seen. They also have a terrible history of entanglement in fishing gear. Underwater noise from shipping and industrial activity is a serious threat. It disrupts their behavior and is destroying their ability to communicate. And pollution is degrading their habitat. So it's clear that we have to do more to protect right whales, to preserve them from extinction, and to give them a real chance at recovery. The wind energy areas off Rhode Island and Massachusetts are right whale habitat. Some whales migrate through these waters en route to their winter calving grounds off Florida and Georgia and South Carolina. And while they primarily forage further north in the Gulf of Maine, they're known to feed down below Cape Cod as well, particularly in late winter and early spring. Today's agreement focuses on protecting right whales in this area during the initial phases of wind farm development, during pile driving, which may be needed to install meteorological towers, and during sub-bottom profiling, a process that uses loud sound to survey areas just below the seafloor. Without effective mitigation, these activities could injure right whales through vessel collisions or noise exposure or disrupt their migration or feeding. The measures we're announcing today are intended to supplement those that the federal agencies have adopted thus far. At their heart is a traffic light system of red, yellow, and green periods. The agreement prohibits pile driving and sub-bottom profiling during the red period when the right whales are most likely to be in the area, and applies additional mitigation during yellow months when right whales are less likely to occur. Additionally, some measures would apply throughout the year when the light is green, but right whale occurrence remains a possibility. The agreement includes restrictions on pile driving and sub-bottom profiling during the winter and early spring months, and this is because we believe that separating these activities from the whales is the most effective way of minimizing impact. The agreement includes a 10-knot speed limit for all project vessels running from November 1st through May 15th, and that's to reduce risk of ship strikes. And some of you on the call may be familiar with the administration speed reduction rule, which was just renewed last December. The measure in our agreement goes beyond that rule. It extends the speed limit across the entire wind energy areas and the transits ships make to get there, and it applies a speed limit to all project vessels regardless of length. The agreement includes use of best available technologies to reduce pile driving noise during the yellow period in early May. I should say that noise reduction and attenuation technologies have been developed in Europe, which is several years ahead of the United States in offshore wind production, and this measure begins to put them in use here. And the agreement includes better surveillance to spot right whales to reduce risk of injury and disruption of foraging from noise exposure. These monitoring measures include requirements for expert ship-based observers, restrictions on operations at night and in low visibility conditions, and use of aerial surveillance and/or passive listening to detect whales during the yellow period. I should also say that the government requires operators to temporarily halt operations when whales are discovered within a small safety radius. Our agreement enlarges the size of this safety margin for some activities. In short, the agreement we're announcing today is practical, and it will help protect right whales during the important early stages of wind development. And we believe that they represent a significant commitment on Deepwater's part to environmental protection and to conserving one of the most endangered and magnificent marine mammal species off our coast. And now I'll turn things over to Catherine Bose, who will help put the agreement in the national context of offshore wind.
Great. Thank you, Michael. National Wildlife Federation is proud to be part of this effort, working collaboratively with the offshore wind industry and our fellow environmental and conservation leaders to ensure our concerns about right whales are addressed as offshore wind power development moves forward off our coasts. As a wildlife advocacy organization with an over 75-year history protecting wildlife and their habitats, National Wildlife Federation strongly believes climate change is the single greatest threat facing wildlife today. And we know that building large-scale clean energy is critical for protecting wildlife from the dangers of a warming world. Offshore wind power offers an unmatched opportunity to provide carbon-free energy at scale, right where we need it most. And today's announcement sets an important precedent, national precedent, to guide our pursuit of offshore wind power. America can no longer afford the immense clean energy opportunity sitting right off our shores that's currently producing over 6,000 megawatts of power and 60,000 jobs overseas. The good news is that significant progress has been made in recent years here, and America is closer than ever before to finally bringing offshore wind power online. With two projects up in New England, including one led by Deepwater Wind on the phone today, within sight of the finish line, lease auctions expected by the Department of the Interior for significant areas offshore off the coast of Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York this year. Key announcements expected soon from the Department of Energy regarding new investments in offshore wind technology. There's clear momentum for offshore wind power in America. Today's announcement should help inspire our state and federal leaders to prioritize offshore wind as a key environmental and energy solution, while critical planning decisions are currently being made to meet our current and growing energy needs. So with that, we'd like to take your questions about the agreement, and I'll turn it over to our operator, Rachel.